How many of you, by show of hands, still own or used to own a record player? None of the young kids. Young folks don't even know what a record player is. For the young folks, that's what our music was played on back in the day, long ago. Back then, music was made on vinyl material. We had 45s, 33s, 78s. I never figured out the 78 because I would put a 45 on there and it would just make all kind of funny sounds. But these were the different speeds that music would come in. So we had to make sure that your record player was comparable or compatible to what you would buy. Now, often a record would get scratched, causing the needle to get stuck. And that was an awful sound. It would just drive you nuts. Stuck in a particular groove of the record. And the only way to get it unstuck, someone had to lift up the arm that had the needle and place it in another groove. And then the music would continue. And then someone came up with the bright idea. I thought it was just us because we didn't have money to go buy another record player. But someone came up with the idea of putting a coin on top of the needle head. And that would allow the needle to have enough weight and that it would work its way through the area where it was stuck. And then it would continue playing the song. But my point is this, brethren. Life is like that record player. At times, we can go through life and it can be smooth sailing. And then we hit a snag and we get stuck. And we're not going anywhere. And like the record, we're stuck, just stuck. And we need someone to lift us up, someone to get us out of that stuck position and move us to another groove so that we can continue on with life. Sure, we have family and we have friends that can help us in some cases. But some of our stuck areas in life, family and friends can't help us. So what do we do? Who do we turn to? Well, God said, do not be afraid. He said, I will rescue you. That's who we turn to, or should turn to. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Psalms. Psalms 91. Psalms 91, and we'll begin reading in verse 3. Psalm 91 and verse 3. For he, meaning God, will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. Excuse me. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. God will help us. God is our shelter. He will lift us up and he will set us in another groove, brethren, if we have faith and believe. My subject matter today, you've probably figured out, I'm going to talk about being stuck in life. And if you need a title, my title is Help, I'm Stuck and I Can't Get Out. 2017 has been a very interesting year. A lot going on, especially in America, with escalating conditions in the world. You know, it's not going to get any better. Oh, we hit smooth grooves every now and then, but we're headed for some rough times. We are literally watching the rapid decline of this world. You can see it unraveling. We have lost control. Not going to lose it, we have lost control. I mean, just look around. Not just in America, but in the world. You've got people stuck on stupid. Just doing stupid stuff, senseless killings. You name it. People stuck on trickery and scamming. And that's everywhere. Make no mistake, brethren, there are some good people in this world. This room is filled with good people that are stuck in difficult situations in life. Good people that are discouraged. We have all been in situations where we have wondered if there is a way out of our problem. Maybe you're struggling right now to see how God might solve your financial problem, or your emotional situation, or your social needs, and you find yourself discouraged. Discouragement is part of life. We don't like it, but it's part of life. Often, discouragement comes when we do right things and we experience poor results. And I'll give you some examples. You work hard, but you don't make any progress. You show up for practice every day. You give it all you've got, but you lose every game. You spend time with your children, going out of your way to be the best parent you know how, but still they rebel. And we get to this point in life, and you become vulnerable. And we forget that God will provide help. He will pull you out of whatever area you're stuck in, if you just stay faithful and believe. People have a tendency to get stuck in various situations in life. Stuck in financial difficulty. Stuck in a job that they hate. Stuck in a powerful addiction. Or stuck in the same area they've always been in. Just stuck. The children of Israel packed up all their belongings one day and moved to Egypt to be with Joseph. Joseph was already there, living there, and he died there. Along with Jacob also died there. You know the story. But when the Israelites moved there, they had no clue that they would be enslaved for over 400 years. They had no clue they would be stuck there for over 400 years. Moses had no clue that he would be the one to lead Israel out of Egypt. And he certainly didn't know that he would be stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. What about Job? The Bible says he was blameless. The Bible says he shunned evil. One day this man had everything, and the next day he lost it all. He lost his family, he lost his livestock, his wealth, his health, everything gone. His body was overtaken with infirmity. And to top it off, his wife tells him to curse God and die. Can you imagine being told this? Brethren, Job was downtrodden. Job was stuck. But he never gave up faith in God. He never wavered. And God rescued him and restored him. Have you ever been stuck? Maybe you got stuck in the mud somewhere and you couldn't get out. It's discouraging, especially when you can't rescue yourself. You can't do anything about it. As I was studying and preparing for this message, many things came to my mind about being stuck in life. There are different ways how a person can be stuck in the mud of life. And one way is unsolved or unresolved childhood memories. This is a big one. And if you're not careful, it can ruin your life. Because some of us have things that happened in our childhood that causes us a lot of hurt and pain. When you have unresolved childhood memories, it's difficult to go forward because you keep rehashing the hurt that was inflicted upon you. Brethren, unresolved memories will cause relationship problems, and it will hinder your relationship with God. You got to let it go. And the funny thing about it is, when you or I finally make the decision to let it go, guess what? Here comes old Satan again, bringing it up again. You're forced to relive it all over again. That's why it's important to give it to God. Some other ways you can be stuck is through addictions, drugs, alcohol, pornography, lust, and yes, even health issues. No matter how hard you try to stop or fix it or cure it, you can't. You're stuck in the mud and you're sinking. And yes, you've made mistakes, you've made bad choices in your life, we all have. And you feel defeated, depressed, and discouraged. And so you give up because you're stuck. Brethren, you don't have to remain stuck in the mud of life. There is help. God will rescue you. You know what God wants from us? He wants to know that your faith and my faith is unshakable. Regardless of what you're stuck in, He wants to know that you love Him and that you trust Him and that you believe in Him without wavering. This is what He wants to know. God wants to help us, but we have to do our part. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Psalms again, Psalms 34. Psalms 34, and let's begin in verse 4. Psalm 34, and beginning in verse 4. I prayed to the Lord, and He answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to Him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened, and He saved me from all of my troubles. I forgot to mention, I'm reading out of the NLT. Brethren, God will rescue you. You know, sometimes when God rescues us, we don't like the outcome because we think we should be highly favored and blessed all the time. But God's not a puppet. Isn't it amazing how God will wait on us, how patient He is with us? Everyone else says, strike three and you're out. God says, strike three and you're in. Everyone else turns their back on you when you're stuck. God pulls you out. Isn't it amazing that when the cards are stacked against you, when the odds are against you, when it's seemingly impossible for you to get out of your mess, God shows up and he will bless you. And now we like the blessing. God is cool again. Every one of us get discouraged. But if we stay in the race, if we keep our eyes fixed on the one who is the source of life, strength, and hope, he will throw us a rope. God will lift us up out of the mud of life. Brethren, don't let yourselves become discouraged when you have a setback. Sometimes no is the blessing. Ask me how I know. You have to understand that things will not always go your way. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, it shouldn't matter if things don't go our way. Knowing that God is in charge should be enough. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Brethren, God gives us his assurance of his strength and help if we just believe and keep the faith. We can't settle and stuck. We have to keep our eyes on the one who provides the way. A Newsweek article from May of 2013 reported that in spite of the fact that over the last five decades, millions have been remade for the better, in spite of the fact, it said that we as a nation are suffering unprecedented loss of hope. It said every year since 1999, more Americans have killed themselves than the year before, making suicide the nation's greatest cause of death, topping 40,000 in 2013. It goes on to say that each year another 100,000 attempt to take their own lives. It said many more are killing themselves slowly by less obvious means, like overeating, alcohol, drug abuse, overworking. It continued to say that there are millions more who daily attempt to belittle themselves through humiliation and other psychological forms of punishment. People are stuck and giving up hope. Jeremiah, the prophet, knew what it was like to be discouraged. He had been given a pretty unpopular message to deliver to his people. They would come to Jeremiah and ask him to pray for them. They would ask him to seek God's word for them. But unfortunately, for them and for Jeremiah, the message given by God was not the message they wanted to hear. They didn't like what they heard. So rather than obeying the message that Jeremiah brought on behalf of God, they decided to kill the messenger. You know what they did? They threw Jeremiah in a well. They decided to leave him there until he died of starvation or thirst. The well had no water. There was this thick, slimy layer of mud. And we're told that Jeremiah sank deep down into the mud. He was stuck in the mud because of people being stuck on stupid. Maybe you're stuck with something today. Something stuck in your mind. Stuck and you can't tell anybody. Stuck and depressed about it. You're stuck and embarrassed about it. Stuck and most of all confused. Maybe you're stuck in a spiritual rut where you're just doing the same thing over and over and you don't feel like you're moving forward. It's no fun being stuck. You feel frustrated. You feel like you can't do anything to get out. You feel helpless. And the feeling is even worse when you've done all that you know to do and you're still in the same old mess. Each one of us can probably relate to the fact that at one time or another, we've all been stuck in life. We've been discouraged. And every time we try to move forward, it's like quicksand. We find ourselves in the same place, sinking deeper and deeper like Jeremiah. No matter how we try to encourage ourselves, nothing seems to help. Ask me how I know. I think it's safe to say that most of us have been to a doctor. You've seen him make notes in a folder. He's making a record of your symptoms, your diagnosis, and your treatment so that he and other doctors can see the treatments that you've already had. A good doctor will keep a case file on every single person that he treats. And these files are supposed to be kept confidential. The doctor isn't supposed to discuss you or your condition with anyone else. It's doctor-client privilege. And without a doubt, brethren, there are some interesting readings in the doctor's files. Most doctors encounter many strange cases as they treat people day by day. I tell you that to lead into this story. There was a lady in the New Testament who must have felt this way, discouraged, and wanted to throw in the towel. She was stuck in a place called sickness. She had this awful disease for 12 long years. The kind of disease that regardless of what she did, it wouldn't go away. She had gone to doctor after doctor, no help, no cure. There was no insurance. She spent every dime she had on doctor visits. Still, she didn't get any better. In fact, she got worse. You talk about being stuck. This woman did everything she knew to do, but she was still stuck in the mud of sickness. Let's read the account. Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke 8. Luke 8. And we'll begin in 43. Luke 8, beginning in verse 43. Again, I'm reading from the NLT. A woman in the crowd suffered 12 years with constant bleeding. She could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd..." No, I'm sorry. Back up. She touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately, the bleeding stopped. And then Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Jesus asked, everyone denied it. And Peter said, Master, the whole crowd is pressing up against you. But Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me. He said, I felt healing power go out from me. When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him, and she had been immediately healed. And then Jesus told her, he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. He said, go in peace. This woman believed. Brethren, there's only one physician who has accurate records of all the cases he treats. He doesn't hide the facts of his cases from the view of anyone. In fact, he documented the records of his cases in the most powerful book of all times, and it's in your lap. During the course of his ministry, Christ encountered many strange cases. And he was able to overcome them by his power because he is God. One of the strangest cases recorded is in the verses we just read, brethren. It was strange. You want to know why? In this case, Jesus doesn't even touch the patient. He doesn't prescribe medication. There is no diagnosis, and yet the woman is cured. This story of this sick, burdened woman who was healed by the power of Jesus paints us a picture. A picture of what happens when a sick person meets the greatest physician there is. The Bible says that she had an issue of blood, and that means she was hemorrhaging from somewhere in her body. Whatever the source of her bleeding was, it was a condition that literally ruined her life. This poor woman had been stuck with this issue for 12 years. And you know what Jesus said? You read it. He said, one translation says, be of good cheer. Your faith has healed you. And that's the difference between people that are curious about Jesus and the few who reach out to touch him. That's the difference, is your faith. Many people are familiar with Jesus Christ, but nothing in their lives has changed or is better. Brethren, healing comes from faith. It is God who heals. It is your faith. It is the faith of the individual that God is interested in. Do you believe, brethren? Do you have faith? I think Peter must have felt like this woman. Because Peter was stuck. Peter was stuck in this place called guilt. He had been on the road with Jesus for 3 years, hanging out with Jesus Christ backstage, so to speak. And Peter watched Jesus perform some mighty miracles. He was one of Jesus Christ's top three disciples. But when it came time to stand up for Jesus Christ, when everyone turned their back on Jesus, Peter left him high and dry. And you know where they found Peter? Hanging out in the streets. Somebody recognized him, said, aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? Peter answered, nope, not me. That's what he said. In fact, he was so adamant about it that he denied knowing Jesus not once but three times. And at that point, he knew he messed up. So he went back to his old job, from politician to fishing. Can you imagine the guilt he must have felt because he turned his back on Christ? He was stuck in guilt. He couldn't get out of this hole by himself. He needed to be rescued. But who was going to rescue Peter? Well, after Christ died and rose from the grave, he appeared before his disciples again. And guess where he found Peter? Fishing. So he called Peter from the shore and invited him to breakfast. Let's go to the book of John and let's read what happened. John 21. John 21 and begin in verse 15. John 21 and verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asks Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes," Peter replied, "you know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Verse 18, "I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourselves, you went where you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him again, "Follow me." Jesus rescued Peter from his guilt. With the same statement that he used in the beginning, "Follow me." Christ reinstated Peter. Brethren, can you imagine the relief that Peter must have felt at that moment? You just hear him saying, "We're tight again. We're buds again. It's like old times." Brethren, God wants to help us, but we have to do our part. We cannot abandon him. No, feeling or being stuck isn't easy. And maybe over the course of your years, you've collided head on and with a roadblock in life. Maybe you feel mired down in daily struggles. And you feel God isn't answering your prayers. Brother, prayer isn't some instant magic cure. You can't nuke it, eat it, and you're cured. But it is the most powerful choice you can make. Because God is present, and God can choose to heal us immediately, or the healing can come later. Even in your most downtrodden moments, God is with you. In closing, brethren, the examples used today from the Bible show that nothing has changed. These people went through some tough trials. There were several examples that were just tough. Some very discouraging times. And we will definitely go through our share. At one time or another, all of us have been stuck in the mud, had to be helped out. Sometimes the Christian life begins in the mud. It's not a question of are you muddy. All of us have been in the mud. Some of us are in the mud right now. Mud happens. But Christ will pull you out of whatever rut you're in. The Bible says, no one is righteous, no, not one of us. No one is deserving of God's grace, and yet God will still rescue us anyway from whatever we're stuck with. So what do we do? What do we do, brethren, about our times of discouragement and despair? In the first couple of verses of Hebrews 12, you don't have to turn there, Paul writes, let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from the beginning to the end. The key to overcoming discouragement and depression, brethren, is we have to keep on keeping on. The most lasting cure for discouragement is to stay in the race. Why? Because God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter where you go, no matter where your feet trod, no matter where you walk, uphill or down in the valley, God says, I will never leave you. God says, I was with you when times were good. I was with you when you were scared. I was with you when you were happy. I was with you when you were in good health. I was with you when you were sick. God said, I will never leave you. Brethren, we can all hold on together knowing that our Father intervenes with blessings along the way to comfort us and encourage us. God will rescue you. He says, I will never leave you, never. And that means He will be with you even when you're stuck. Just believe and keep the faith.